We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, broadcasting live from Helix Esports Gaming Center at Patriot Place, here's Gresh, Keith, and Wiggy on WEEI.
We will walk you through all of the Week 11 games coming up. We're at Helix Esports at Patriot Place right beside Gillette Stadium. The bar is filling in. I only see one or two jet pullovers, which is very good. Lots of folks are enjoying the games here. And, of course, we're into our final hour before the 1 o'clock kickoff. By the way, Fitzy and Hart, Fartsy, have got you after the game for the Six Rings postgame show here on WEEI. And, of course, it is a gale warning here at Gillette Stadium, so the winds are going to be high. Saw Mac Jones. They showed him warming up a little bit, not only on the pregame, but also seeing some of the photos on Twitter. And that gets us back to the Patriots offense as to we can really do this a couple different ways. What needs to go, or what do they need to do more of? And I know we touched on this when we mentioned Devontae Parker, but we really didn't break it down. It's a windy day. You've been inconsistent offensively. Apparently, it's a Matt Patricia thing where Devontae Parker's out there. You got one-on-one.
Yeah.
Let's throw the ball down the field. So, boys, Devontae is back in. Does that need to continue, trying to force it down the field to Parker, knowing that it's a 50-50 ball, but the 50 end is pretty high risk?
He says 80-20. Remember, yeah, during camp, he referred to it as 80-20, but it is
and
not.
And we now know better.
It is not that.
I think you do, because
you get rid of it or you keep it?
No, I keep it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I send it to the moon. Well, get rid of this thing.
Well, I want to hear this from Jermaine. Yeah, this is interesting.
Your offense is struggling anyways.
Right.
So why throw anything out? You might as well just keep throwing dots at the board until you eventually hit, right? And if you don't hit, at least you have something. The problem is you don't do anything well, so you can't throw nothing out.
But you're also the team that your defense is so much better than the offense that if you put your defense in bad spots, that's the worst thing you can do. And
well,
the interceptions are awful. You're better off punting it and giving
them
the ball.
You're not taking care of your quarterback by continuing this philosophy.
But here's the thing about those plays of Devontae Parker. The risk versus reward rate on the go ball is much greater reward than it is risk, because those balls for the most part don't get picked off as much as balls where you're throwing inside, because usually it becomes a 50-50 and it's a one-on-one ball. You don't have to look for guys. You don't have a bunch of help. You're not throwing that ball if there's a safety over the top.
See, I feel like if it's Josh Allen throwing to Steph Diggs, maybe you're right. But if it's Mac Jones throwing to Devontae
Parker,
I disagree.
But if it's Mac Jones throwing to Devontae, it's one-on-one, and now it becomes a rebound in sense of either your guy's going to catch it or – you know, he should be able to make sure the other guy doesn't catch it, which he's kind of done a good job with. When you think of how many 50-50 ball interceptions have we seen? Just really the one
from
against
Mac,
Miami.
I think it's three.
Early on, yeah.
I thought it was.
What was the other one?
Well, it was early in the year.
The Miami
I think there
one.
There was Miami one, but there wasn't one against Pittsburgh, I don't think.
No.
But
didn't
I think
he throw one against
that.
Chicago that got him benched? Wasn't that kind
no,
of
no,
that, or that wasn't his deep?
That wasn't a 50-50 ball. That was when he rolled out and he
just
tried to throw.
Yeah, that was more of the over the middle.
That was a bad decision.
Yeah.
But I think from and it's something that we have talked about from a philosophical standpoint, is it something that this team can really afford to do? You know, I mean, because I think, Look, if you're the Bills, and you mentioned if it's Josh Allen to Steph Diggs, it's one thing, but there are also teams who are willing to live with the interception in that instance because either they play good defense or they know that offensively they can kind of make up for it. Whereas I don't know if this offense is to a point to where unless you know you're either going to overthrow it or Parker's going to make that catch one-on-one and you're going to lead him to do it, throwing it up for a jump ball where you're trying to high point it against somebody, I don't know if I want to try that against Sauce Gardner.
Well, each one's not against him, though, right? But but I'm just saying if you're looking at it, because I say the reward is greater because, A, usually two things happen. Your guy will make the play, or there potentially could be a pass interference.
There is
now,
that.
Now, the interceptions, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but it's less likely. How many interceptions do you see from corners making them on a 50-50 jump ball? You don't see as many.
Who's the other Diggs last year who won a bunch of those? I know some went his way, but the Diggs
but
who
Trayvon
played
Diggs?
In, there you go, in
oh,
Dallas.
Yeah, a million
yeah.
picks, yeah. But, right. I mean, he giveth and taketh away.
Well, so guy. I guess the question then becomes, Wiggs, is that is – are you comfortable if there is an interception on that, but philosophically you're in the right? So it's the whole, boy, it's the right move. You got to take that shot down the field. And if a guy makes a great play, then does it turn into, wow, the quarterback sucks? Or is it the philosophy that sucks?
How else?
I think it might also be the players.
Right.
I think that's part of it, but the concept stinks. The same play again that we saw 15 years ago, Tom Brady to Randy Moss, you'd run that every time. Every single time you'd want to run that.
Because he's no a reason planet not player.
And he's probably open because he's running past those guys too, whereas all these ones that Mac Jones has thrown.
Jump balls.
They've all been covered.
They're jump balls.
So I also think there's a big difference between is it first and 10 and you think, hey, we can catch him off guard, or is it third and 15 and you know you end up throwing it 50 yards down the field and you're like whatever, like that was it would have
been
the
equivalent
punt.
Of a punt
but
anyway,
first
right.
or second down you're saying, well, what are we doing? Why not just hand it to Ramondre Stevenson? Why not, dare I say, try to get the tight ends involved a little bit more? That might be you're paying a lot of money for those guys, that should be part of it.
But it's when you look at the balls that he's throwing to Devontae Parker, he's either throwing him a slant route or a go route. Mm-hmm. See, I think people have to understand what the route is when you when you realize it is a go route. It is a go route that turns into a 50-50 ball, which becomes a ball that you're throwing outside the numbers on the sideline where either your guy's going to catch it, mm-hmm. it's going to be a pass interference, and the likelihood of it being intercepted is a lot lower, right?
Because Bailey Zappi had a few of those, too, in his two games, and they got a pass interference penalty. Right. They got one where it was like thrown like right at the sideline.
Right. You saw Mac Jones throw one in the first half against Chicago where he overthrows Tyquan Thornton. That's what that ball is. See, I think people don't understand. They think when you understand what the go route concept is, it's one of those balls where you catch it, the quarterback catches it, you know, it's in shotgun, 1-2-3, balls out, and it's if we hit, it's a big play. If we miss, for the most part, it's either incomplete because you know you're not throwing it over the top. You know you're not throwing in the double coverage for the most part because you can read the coverage. You know you're not having to go through progressions. And you know you don't have guys underneath it that are playing zone coverage that could have fooled you. It's very simple to read. Now, the reason why I say don't scrap it, because your offense doesn't have big play capability. When do you get explosive plays from your offense?
Stevenson, making a guy miss and going.
Right, and usually that's an explosive play in the run game, and an explosive play in the run game in the NFL is considered 12 yards or more.
No, it's true, but I mean that's basically how you beat the Jets, right? They weren't moving the ball at all. They got the one break on the dumb pass interference penalty by the Jets, and then they also, to start the second half, Stevenson put him in good field position.
Mm-hmm. So
that was kind of the formula.
Right, so you got to look at, like, all right, we might need some explosive plays that can flip the field for us, put us in a good position. And I don't necessarily have to, when I say don't scrap, it don't always have to be the Devontae Parker. I seen him throw go routes.
Couldn't
too.
Tyquan Thornton, isn't that what his
Tyquan Thornton
should be?
I seen Jacoby Myers make a couple of those catches.
Hunter Henry get a matchup on the outside where you're taking advantage of his big body as well?
Yeah that's maybe. A linebacker.
I know that would require motion and thought.
Well, no, really. It wouldn't even require motion. You just line him up out there. If the corner stays out there, then you know it's probably zone. But if they move a linebacker out there, you know, it's, man, that's what – when we used to run – when you see teams putting the tight ends out wide, That's an indicator for the quarterback on whether or not it's man or zone.
Oh, right.
That's why we did that, right? If I lined up all the way outside the numbers and the corner stayed out there, then that meant we had a mismatch inside because now we had a receiver working against a linebacker or a safety. If they want to move a linebacker out there, advantage me and the tight ends, because guess what we work on every day? We work on slant routes. We work on go routes. We work on hitch routes as tight ends. Guess what linebackers don't do? They don't go out and work on covering outside the numbers. So it's an advantage for you as a tight end to line up outside and throw a go route.
They
or a
used
slant
to
route.
Get those with running backs all the time.
Same with running
and
backs.
I don't even know if they've done that once this year.
But you got to have a guy that has that skill set who can line up outside a running back and run a slant route, run a little 5-yard under route, run a go route, because, you know, it's much difficult to catch a slant route from outside the numbers coming back to than it is to catch like an option route for a running back.
Right.
So maybe they don't have that guy.
Boy, it feels like you'd try to get a matchup, and even the tight ends.
But if they're
grief.
Not good at that, like, right, you might, just because a guy can catch an option route, looks like, oh, this guy got good hands on a swing pass and an option route, you line him up out wide and you tell him to run a slant route, it's a completely different catch.
If Gronkowski could do it, I would like to think that others could.
No, I
know.
If the greatest of all time.
Yeah. So I think that's – you used to see him do a lot of it with James White.
Yeah.
Where they line him out wide. And
he was the chess piece.
And they'd run slants with him. They did some
of it.
Probably
why they brought in Ty Montgomery,
They did some of it with Rex Burkhead.
Yep.
But you don't always see them doing that with running backs, because some of them just feel uncomfortable out there. They can catch anything all day long inside, but when you go outside, it's just different.
And the play caller might be uncomfortable with it as well. We've talked about the offensive line. It'll be interesting to see sort of left to right how they're going to mash everything up here, although Tommy Curran did mention that Isaiah Wynn was at left tackle for the media portion.
Yeah, so hopefully that doesn't mean
that it's an across-the-board deal. We did talk about the motions and the shifts. How do you get Mac Jones ready to go here for a second half of the season? And I know that, of course, they wait until noon, but NFL Network had something from Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, on Mac went back and was focusing on the timing of his drops, meaning when the back foot hit, where were the receivers, what was I looking at, and he was trying to work on timing of his dropbacks.
Well, Dan Orlovsky had that great breakdown we've all sort of talked about over the last few days about the dropbacks aren't lining up with the routes. And so you're like, is that coaching? Is it Mac Jones? Is it somehow all of the receivers? Like, that's the one thing. Like, I can't imagine it's all of the receivers getting it wrong. You can see one guy having a miscommunication.
Right.
But the four or five guys out in a route just kind of running the wrong.
He said there was a ton of timing issues.
Well, there was a mess. Like, it would be like a three-step step drop, and they're running like 15-yard patterns or whatever, and it just didn't seem to line up. So if they're working on that, great. I can't imagine it is all completely cleared up.
But it should be based off of, and that's why when you bring that up, right? Well, usually a receiver cuts his route off early, right? So usually that's because they have this clock in their
mind.
And
they're like, I got to look for the ball.
I got a 10-yard out route. It's like, oh, but I got to look for the ball, and now I'm breaking my route off at 8 yards, which then might lead me a little bit more into coverage.
This was like the opposite.
Right, so
these guys are just running. So like, you got to turn around.
So now if it's the opposite, then that tells me maybe the quarterback is too premature in his drop.
And why would you be? If your offensive line's terrible, you're thinking, I got to get rid of the ball.
I
got to
get
quick.
Rid of the football.
But if the play call is telling these guys to run, they're expecting to, I don't even make my cut until 8 yards or whatever. And
15
Mac,
yards.
And Mac's trying to get the ball out quick because he knows he's going to get killed.
It all goes back to getting the ball out quick.
Yeah.
And again, like, we, you know, now it's become a demerit for Mac when Brady was here, the ball was out quick all the time, in rhythm, in, like, the offense just clicked.
It's the concept of the offense.
But it's too many. Yeah, Matt Patricia's running too many plays downfield, and it's not just the Parker 50-50 ball. It's like, it's everything.
Right. They're trying
to, like, oh, we're passing it now? That means everybody's going to go on the other side of the first down marker.
Well,
like, that's not the case.
And there's the whole, you know, there's always the discussion of well-built offensive plays always have someone at different levels of the defense. There might be one guy deep, but you might have two guys that are in the intermediate, one guy short to be able to do something with, and I think that all factors in as well. Hey, this quickly from Andrew Callahan inside the stadium. Nick Folk missed from 53 and from 48 yards away, kicking to the open construction end of the stadium. So the old lighthouse side, they're missing kicks going that way. And I guess Folk might be doing kickoffs because apparently he hit one so bad, it cranked a Jets staffer right in the face.
Forgot about that. We were talking about, so Jake Bailey's on IR, so there's your punter. He's also your holder, and he's your kickoff guy.
And your kickoff
guy. I forgot
about
the kickoff guy part of it.
So, again, there's that.
Well, and again,
these are
all kind of, you would think, kind of minor things, like, oh, whatever, like they'll be able to figure it out. But in a game where we expect it to be low scoring, it's the lowest over-under on the board today at 38.
Yep.
Field position's massive. So if you have a new guy, whether it's Nick Folk or Pilardi, the other punter, doing kickoffs, they're not used to doing kickoffs. They shank one of them out of bounds. You know, you get the ball at the 40, and that could be
it might be the game. Yeah. That's exactly right. We're coming to you from the Best Yet Brand Studio. We are at Helix Esports at Patriot Place right beside Gillette Stadium. Folks are we're hanging out here with us for a while, still kind of hanging out, and then we'll leak out into the stadium. We've got Week 11 games to preview next, but first, here's Ethan at Command Central, ready to trend.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now, brought to you by Zudy. Build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zudy, that's Zudy.com, for your free trial. Week 11 of the NFL continues to roll on at 1 p.m. with your Patriots hosting the Jets here in Foxborough. Notable players that will be playing that were listed as questionable: Josh Uche, Devontae Parker, and Afrony Jennings, all set to go. Meanwhile, obviously, Christian Barmore and Jake Bailey out as they are now on the IR. And be sure to tune into the Six Rings post-game show with Fitzy and Hart right after the game, right here on WEEI. In college football, the Boston College Eagles were taken down 44-0 against Notre Dame in what became quite the Snow Bowl. And meanwhile, the UMass Minutemen fell to Texas A&M 20-3. And a big congratulations to the Holy Cross Crusaders, who finished their season 11-0, their first undefeated season in 31 years after beating Georgetown 47-10, becoming Patriot League champions and getting themselves an automatic spot in the FCS playoffs. Celtics are off this weekend as they prepare to face the Bulls tomorrow night in Chicago. They currently sit at 13-3 on the season, and your Bruins now sitting at 16-2, coming away with another victory 6-1 yesterday over the Chicago Blackhawks. They play again tomorrow night in Tampa Bay against the Lightning. I'm Ethan Risadulu, and that's trending here at WEEI and WEEI.com.
We'll take a look at the rest of Week 11 in the NFL next. This is WEEI Football Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Picks coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll give you our thoughts on the Patriots and the Jets, obviously. The Browns, I guess. I almost said hosting Buffalo, but no, it's Buffalo hosting Cleveland in Detroit.
It's like a bowl game.
It kind of is, right. Except they'd love to get – what do they – they normally have the MAC championship game, and then they have –
The Motor City Bowl.
There you go. Yeah.
Always a classic.
And it's always one of the, I think it's like the next to last bowl game before the national championship. Like, it's like way out. It's like January 5th or something. But, well, let's get to some teams that might not even qualify for bowls. As we go through week 11 in the NFL, and let's start with the Browns and the Bills that are going to play in Detroit. We talked about how some strain on the Bills players just in terms of getting out there. But in terms of the matchup, Jordan Poyer is up, but I know Tremaine Edmonds is out. They got a defensive tackle that's out. Tre'Davious White hasn't been activated yet. Bills have now lost two in a row.
Right.
And they're playing a team in the Browns who at 3-6, if they're going to give Deshaun Watson a chance to kind of pull the nose up on their season here around the corner, they got to find a way to win some games, but against Buffalo, that's a tough one. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think all eyes are going to be on Josh Allen and just how he looks, right? Because last week there was so much up in the air about, how's his elbow? And he made some bad decisions. It seemed like it was more mental than physical, but how does he feel this week? How does he follow that up? And you're right, two-game losing streak, you're saying, all right, they were in line for the number one overall seed in the first round bye. They're now currently third in the division. So how so much has changed over 2 weeks. So, yeah, this one's really all about the Bills and how they look.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you on that one, Rich, because, I mean, I know that there's still, like, a small chance with Cleveland, like, just because of where the, you know, five, six, seven
today.
Seeds would be.
Yeah, they
have to win. But if you're Buffalo, it's more about you trying to keep as much pace as you can with the number one overall seed, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And obviously, not only that, but just winning the division.
Right.
Well, now they got a bigger problem, right? Because it was number one seed. Now it's, you got to find a way to get your division lead back now.
They've already lost to the Jets. They've already lost to Miami.
Right.
And so
now you're going to you're gonna have to win all your other games and then beat them again to kind of, you know, put you back in the conversation of being tops of the division and a conversation of potentially the number one seed.
And very important, getting those AFC wins. So in a way, it's like a game and a half in terms of getting a win today for the Bills against the Browns. In Baltimore, the Ravens, who are all kinds of dinged up, are going to take on the 3-7 Panthers. So perfect timing because you got Mark Andrews who's hurt. No Gus Edwards today. Lamar Jackson is going to play. And let's put it this way. Are the Panthers great? Hell no. Not even close. We get that. But under Steve Wilks, they've at least played people tough, Wiggs.
Yeah, but I think this is more about for the Baltimore Ravens. Whatever, I think they're getting Mark Andrews back, right?
Yep.
So you got to look at and you got to say, okay, where are we? In the sense of that division, right? It's really them and Cincinnati when you look at the AFC North and how they have to continue to keep pace. And so I think if you're Baltimore, it's about winning your division and it's about knowing that these are the games that you have to win.
Right.
Even if you are shorthanded, like you have to beat the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, it's 100% you have to win. And I don't think it matters style points or anything like that.
No.
They just need to get this win. And what's interesting is because of Buffalo's recent skid, let's say Buffalo beats Cleveland, we just talked about. That gets them to 7-3. Tennessee's 7-3 after their win on Thursday Night Football. Baltimore with a win would also be 7-3.
Right.
Oh, Miami's in their bye week at 7-3. If the Jets win today,
they're
they would also be
7-3.
Like all of a sudden, and all those teams are one game behind Kansas City.
Right.
And who knows? Maybe they get upset or something. So that is the top of the AFC. Couple of weeks ago, we're like, oh, it's the Bills and the Chiefs and who else? Nobody else. That's just
right.
Well, 2 weeks later, it seems like everybody is in the mix now for seeding.
The gap is closed,
yeah.
Question. Speaking of an AFC team, the 4-5-1 Colts, who I think are not playoff worthy, but they're trying to hang on, they host the 8-1 Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles just coming off their first loss.
Yeah.
Are they hell-bent for leather to go back and get another victory? Or, as what sometimes happens for these undefeated teams, it's like, well, you lose one and then, oh, wait a minute. Maybe we got a
landing spot because their one loss was a division game too.
Right.
Right. And Washington's really not even that bad. But there is something about those division games, whereas the Colts, this matchup would have been a lot more interesting last year if Carson Wentz and Frank Reich were there going up against Philly.
True.
Neither one are. The Jeff Saturday thing probably, in my mind, has a short shelf life.
And yep.
So they got the one win over a really bad Raiders team.
But this is the home game for Jeff Saturday.
First home game for Saturday. Now, going back to Matt Ryan seems like a no-brainer because Sam Ehlinger wasn't going to do it. So there's more of a puncher's chance they have now than a couple of weeks ago. when you had, you know, Sam Ehlinger out there throwing it around. But no, my guess is Philly bounces back.
But I also look at the Indian being in the Colts being in a position kind of like we talked about at the top of the AFC with 7-3, 7-2, 7-3, kind of being right there. If you look at the wild card teams and you're the Colts,
yeah, they're right below.
The
right?
Wild card teams are like 5-4, and if you're in the, you're 4-5. So now if you're able to win this matchup, and let's say the Jets, Patriots lose now, they're 5-5. The Colts are 5-5. Now all these things start to play.
No, it's true, because they have a tough schedule ahead, and this is one of those games where you're like, oh, they're going to lose. But if you upset a couple of teams along the way, right, that's how you do get yourself in there.
Doesn't it seem weird? Like, it almost seems like when you look at the wild card teams for the AFC, 5-4, 5-4, 5-4. And then if you're one of those teams that are 4-5, like, okay, we're still in the mix, but there's so many 7-3s. Does the 7-3s ultimately,
any of them drop down, right?
No. But do they end up bumping out the 5-4s where now the wild card teams become teams that are like 7-3?
Yeah, I'm curious.
But it's division winners. So for some of them, their record almost isn't going to matter because they're going to win the division and be slotted 1-4. It's really kind of the debutants, the runner-ups in those divisions. It might not be so much about Tennessee per se. But Indianapolis would be next best.
So it's Indy and Cincy. Like, what do they end up as? If you want to give Tennessee and Baltimore the divisions, those other two teams are still there. Cincinnati's over 500.
Because Tennessee might win 10 games, and they're still going to win the division.
But that's my point, right? So does the Cincinnati become where those 7-3 teams are right now? Does those teams now become, all right, the 7-4s, which become the 5th, 6th, and 7th wild card seed? So those are the teams you got to potentially look Alpha, whether it's a Cincinnati, whether it's you in New England, right? You want to stay in the position of, as long as we could stay 1, 2, maybe 3 games above 500, because now some of those teams like a Colts, they're right there and they're saying, okay, can we maybe sneak into
this? Do you think Indy and Cincy and the Chargers, do you think those teams are rooting for the Patriots today or the Jets? Because
I think they're rooting for the Jets.
So then they would both teams – or no, so then you'd bump the Patriots down. Yes. Then you kind of push the Jets up a little bit.
Right.
But there's always that chance that it's the Jets and they fall apart.
Right. wouldn't you rather bump as many teams down closer to you?
Yeah, but if the Patriots win today, then both teams would have 4 losses. The Jets and the Pats have 4 losses. So then maybe you feel like you have
bring another team down to your level.
You have a better chance. Now you're maybe a game back instead.
You know, the conference record is going to start to play big here. And that's the one thing that the AFC East kind of has going for them right now, is that Miami 5-2 in the conference. The Jets are 5-3. Buffalo and New England are both 4-2. And you look in the other divisions, like Indianapolis already 4-4-1 in the conference. Oh. So they got some NFC games coming up.
Right.
And then it's really Kansas City and the Chargers in terms of having competitive conference records. Cincinnati at 5-4, already 2-3 in the conference. Now they might be able to make
they have big head-to-head matchups coming up. And that's the other thing about this is teams that you think are going to be fighting for it, like Patriots, Bengals. I think it's Bengals, Jets later on in the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Bengals do not get the Jets.
Is it the
Bengals?
Who is it?
Well, yeah, I got the Bengals schedule right here.
Okay.
They're Pittsburgh, then at Tennessee, home for Kansas City, Cleveland with Watson.
Cleveland, Watson.
And then it's at Tampa, at New England, the Bills, and then the Ravens. The hard part of the
Bengals.
So
that's like 6 playoff teams potentially on there that they face, and then maybe they could grab a head-to-head
them. What do you think is the minimum amount of wins?
9.
So 9.
You got to have 9, but you got to have at least 6 AFC wins.
Yeah, I think 9.
That's the caveat.
I think 9, there'll be a 9-win team in, but there'll also be a 9-win team out.
Correct. Okay. And that's where the tiebreakers come into play. Some of the other – let's get to some of the NFC games at 1 o'clock. Bears, Falcons, anybody with a thought there?
Justin Fields and the Bears offense, can they keep that up? I know they haven't won a lot of games, but Justin Fields at least looks like he has solidified himself as a starting quarterback in the league.
Yeah, see what him and Chase Claypool become.
Yep, that's it.
The Commanders are at the 1-7-1 Texans.
Well, so this is a good example of a team that you just beat the undefeated team. Now, you can't just give that all up by losing to the worst team in the league. So, and if they get that win, all of a sudden they're over 500.
They're 6-5.
And then, like the AFC East, you'd have two divisions with teams with all winning records. And then they would be very much in the mix for a wild card spot in the NFC.
Yeah, looking at them right now, they're 5-5 overall, 3-4 in the conference. So they did get dinged a little bit. You know, the other problem is that Philly's already 5-1 in terms of the conference. Dallas is 5-3.
But yeah, I don't think they're winning the division, but,
if you're Washington, you play your way into discussion, no question. Rams at 3-6 at Saints 3-7.
What a horrible game.
Yeah, I picked up the Rams defense today because I had the Raiders, and I know the Raiders are playing the Broncos, but I don't trust the Raiders.
That's the other that tells you the territory that the Patriots Jets offenses are in, where Rams Saints has a 1 point higher over under.
Man.
And Matt Stafford, I guess, is going to be back, but no Cooper Kupp. So it's like, how do they even move the ball? Because he was the only guy playing well for them on offense all year.
Yeah, and like you said, both of those, that matchup is just, you know.
But that Rams team, like, to win the Super Bowl, then to follow it up with this season?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
And it's like, they're not falling, like, this season wasn't like, they didn't fall off the map because they couldn't re-sign guys. Because, you know, people are like,
No, they brought everybody back.
And they added Allen Robinson to it.
It's all O-line based.
And their play
half of their O-line left.
Stink.
And they had no picks. They had nothing to replenish.
And the play of Matthew Stafford, and I don't know if it's the elbow injury or something.
Not right.
The Lions are 3-6, and while their stadium's being used for Browns-Bills, the Lions are on the road to take on the 7-2 Giants.
Yeah, Daboll right there, coach of the year. He, Sirianni, maybe a couple other guys, but they're probably going to be 8-2 after today. And it's like, how the hell did they do that?
Yeah, I think he
took
Joe
Judge 2 years to win that many games.
I think Daboll should win coach of the year just based off what he inherited.
Yeah.
And if he can get this team to 10, 11
it's
wins.
Pretty wild.
That is definitely an amazing feat.
How about this? Their wins this year have come by this many points. 1, 3, 8, 5, 4, 6, and 8.
Yeah.
See, to me, that's the sign of a good coach.
Yep.
You know, we say that even in, you know, basketball, other sports, where if you have a winning record in all those close games or one possession games.
Right.
Coach is pulling the right strings.
And imagine what that winning record would look like points-wise if you had a real quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that
when you could do it like that,
Daniel Jones.
Right.
I mean, good amazing. Grief. It really is. To the 4 o'clock games, Raiders are at the Broncos. By the way, Nathaniel Hackett, he needs to be more comfortable. So he's giving up play calling duties like it was when he was in Green Bay. So they hired a guy to run the game, help him run the game. He's now given up
clock
offensive
management
play calling.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Right. So now he's just going to stand on the sidelines and do what?
Are these the two worst first-year coaches, Josh McDaniels and Nathaniel Hackett?
I mean,
yeah, with the teams that they inherited.
Got to be.
Yeah.
Well,
the Raiders should not be 2-7.
They actually made their teams worse. And then you have guys like McDaniel and Kevin O'Connell and Brian Daboll that they've gone in there. Even Doug Peterson took over a horrible Jaguars team.
They look functional.
Right. They look like
competitive now.
Yeah, and maybe they'll be better next year. But these two guys both came into spots where you're like, oh, wow, look at all the talent you have.
Right.
You're going to make the playoffs as a rookie coach. Like, no, they're both fighting for the number one overall pick. They've been terrible. And this would just be if McDaniels loses this one, like the string that he is on right now, he got shut out by the Saints. Lost to the Jaguars, and then lost to Jeff Saturday in the Colts.
That's it.
And then if you lose to Nathaniel Hackett in that Russell Wilson offense, like, good Lord. Even a win is like, okay, great. But a loss, you're like, embarrassing.
It's like, where are you going? If you're McDaniels and you look at this team that you have, like, you have talent.
They're a disaster.
I've never seen a team that has had that much talent and be that big of a disaster.
It's pretty crazy.
They should at least be scoring on offense. They defensively, they're not good.
No, they're not
for them to be scoring the way they are.
Like how the Bears' offense is lapping them.
I mean, they got shut out in New Orleans.
Yep.
How does that happen?
New Orleans is three wins. That was one of their three wins. That's not a great
good
team.
Lord.
With the talent that they have on both sides of the football, they should be a 500 team.
There you go. Even if you have a bad defense.
Yeah, like,
be 5-4.
Yep.
That's where you should be.
Or even 4-5, you go, know what?
You're
okay.
In it, right.
Nah, they suck.
Big one in the NFC. The 6-3 Cowboys are at the 8-1 Minnesota Vikings. That's a 4:25 kick. I do believe CBS has the doubleheader, and that is the back end of the doubleheader after the Patriots game, I think.
It's the two best games on the schedule. Like, if Patriots-Jets isn't the best game in Week 11, it's Cowboys and Vikings.
Yep.
And what is this, the third week back now for Dak Prescott? The Vikings just had that insane win over the Bills.
The Vikings are for real.
And this could be a playoff matchup. This could be a divisional round game.
No
for
question.
Sure.
I think this game is more about what are the Cowboys? Because, you know, we just seen the Cowboys lose to Green Bay, right?
Yes.
Going to Green Bay.
Yeah, how do they bounce back?
Right, and you now play Minnesota, who just beat Buffalo, who we all feel is a
very... another team that wins close games.
Right.
Minnesota.
Right.
Minnesota, yeah.
So I think this game shows us, okay, I think we feel Minnesota's for real, but it's more about the Cowboys in this football game. What are the Dallas Cowboys? Because do you feel like they're for real? Because I don't.
No, I don't think they can win it. But
they're
I think
a half step away. Like, if it comes together, they have the talent to do so.
But they do benefit from the whole league, but specifically the NFC being really wide open, because I wouldn't put my money down on the Giants.
No, but I
probably wouldn't do it on the Eagles either. So, like, the Vikings, like...
But I feel like this is a game that if they can go out and be competitive,
they would change your mind.
They would change my mind. But as of right now, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
But this is a perfect game for them to change a lot of people's minds.
Yep.
For looking at them.
We already touched on the Bengals there at the 3-6 Steelers. And then Sunday Night Football tonight, the Chiefs are at the Chargers.
And so this is one where, as a Patriots fan, you got to root for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are already gobbling up one of those playoff spots. They're probably going to be the number one seed.
Yep.
If a team or two is going to surpass the Patriots in the standings, it would be Chargers are one of them, right? And the Patriots still have a head-to-head with the Bengals later on. They can sort of control that. They don't with the Chargers. So that's one of those teams that we're talking about at the end of the year. Do they have 9 wins in the tiebreaker? Do they have 10 wins or not? So it's a divisional game. They played them tough earlier in the year, but you're definitely rooting for the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, you want all these teams with 4 losses that are hovering right around you to start losing.
Yep.
And then on Monday Night Football, the 49ers are at the 4-6 Cardinals. So James Garoppolo against Calamari. We will make picks and then get out of here next on WEEI Football Sunday. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a little bit of updated sort of breaking news information for you from inside Gillette Stadium. I know Tom Curran has texted Rich Keefe, and Kyrie Thompson has put this out on Twitter as well, but it is Isaiah Wynn at left tackle, but Keefe at right tackle.
It's not Big Trent. Apparently, Trent Brown is just standing around during the warmups. So maybe that 15-minute media portion of practice was actually a little bit more telling than maybe we all anticipated.
Wow.
So
why would they sit down Trent Brown unless there's something going on?
Either he sits or he's part of a rotation.
Or he's the world's largest tight end.
Put him in there. Extra tackle.
Fullback.
Put him in fullback.
I think that's Marcus Cannon's role as the tight end.
Oh, my God.
He's on IR.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
No, it's Kajust.
It's if Kajust is in a right tackle. Well, and see, that's the thing about the substitution as well, is that if you bring in a guy, so if you put in Trent Brown a right tackle to move Kajust to tight end, Kajust then has to leave the field for a play because they moved him to the tight end. That guy either comes in and comes out, or so that's why it would be, to me, the offensive lineman that comes off the sideline to be the extra guy is the one that would line up at the tight end.
I'm sure Patricia's got it under control.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Oh, boy. All right, so let's get to our picks.
All right.
And last week, we picked the Browns and the we had the Buffalo Vikings game. We went Miami and the Browns, San Francisco and the Chargers. Keith went 2-1. Wiggy went 1-2. I went 3-0. So the records on the year I am at 20-11-2. Keith is at 15-14-1. Wiggy is at 18-13-2. So let's get to the games here.
All right.
And Keith, you can lead the way on this one. Buffalo is -8 against Cleveland in Detroit.
I'll go with Buffalo. I know it's the neutral site game, so you don't have the home field, although it seems like it's going to be a Bills crowd there. They
big
sold 56,000 tickets or whatever, and it sounds like most of them are going to be Bills fans. I think the Browns would have been better off playing it in the snow and just trying to win a running game with Nick Chubb, but now playing it inside the dome, I think the Bills win by double figures, so I'll take the 8.
Wiggs, where are you feeling on this game?
I like the same thing. I feel like the Bills, I know 8's a lot of points, but now that it's indoors, I feel like the Bills all day long.
Yeah, the venue change really makes a big difference in this one. I'm with you. I'm going to go with Buffalo. Wiggs, Kansas City -5 at the Chargers Sunday Night Football.
Oh, man, I'm all over the Chiefs, man. I love Kansas City. I just think that and the Chargers, man, I just feel like the Chargers, you know, they're dealing with a lot of injuries, you know, on the offensive
side. They are, yeah.
Yeah, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. I don't know if Keenan Allen, is he ever going
to
play again?
Believe it or not, Allen and Williams are supposed to play today, according to various reports. We'll but we got a long way to go.
I was gonna say.
That's the 8:20 Eastern game.
They might hurt themselves at lunch.
And I just think that KC with Mahomes.
Carrying
Mahomes
their wallets.
Mahomes is just playing out of his mind, so I'm with KC.
You know what? It's too big a number. I'm going Chargers to find a way to backdoor this thing to get to within 5.
They play them tough.
They do. They do. And, again, those wide receivers are coming back. And for Justin Herbert, he's like, thank God. I got someone more than the tight end, Everett. And I got more than just trying to throw it to Eckler. So I don't think – in no way, shape, or form do I think the Chargers win this game. But at +5, I'll take them.
I'm going to take them, too. I like home dogs a lot, especially when you have them in division like this. And over the last few years, they've had some pretty epic games against the Chiefs. And even if you think Brandon Staley is going to do something that might cost them the win, but probably won't cost them the cover here.
There you go.
I think they could keep it inside of that 5. Close game either way, so I'll take the Chargers.
And then New England -3.5. I just checked it again. It's 3 in the hook against the Jets. I'm still going to go New England. I can see 4 to 5 point win going either way. I think the Patriots have at least a little something new for one drive. I'm going to say that
one drive. All right. Okay.
They got one drive-ism to where they might look like an offense.
Is this game played, is the whole game played in the overtime format where the first team to score wins?
Yes, that is it.
No, the first team to score wins because you're saying one drive. That's it.
Sudden death. I'm going with the Jets. I think these two teams are way too close to have a series sweep.
I'm sorry. He's getting booed.
Listen, these are the picks. We keep track of these, so I need to take the win. And they're getting 3.5, so the Patriots could find a way to win this game.
But
they don't cover it, so I like the 3.5. And you think back to last game, that pass interference penalty, or I'm sorry, roughing the passer penalty really was the difference. If they clean that up, the Jets probably win.
Wiggs, quickly.
I'm going Pats because the Pats are the big brothers. Until the Jets can prove that they can beat the Patriots, which they haven't been able to do that yet right now, so they are the little brothers who get their asses whooped.
All right, thanks to our friends at Helix Esports for hosting us, and we'll be back here, I do believe, early January. Good job by Zeke. Good job by John. We will see you tomorrow on WEEI. Enjoy the games, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.